For the next 6 weeks, we'll be hearing from our, in our first reading, we'll be hearing from a book in the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles. It's the fifth book in the New Testament. Right, so we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the fifth book there is the Acts of the Apostles. And the name or the title of the book tells you what the book's about. It's about the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, it's an insight on the life and the activity of the early church. And in the coming weeks, the little excerpts that we'll hear from the Acts of the Apostles, we'll hear and be able to pick up on the boldness of the early Christians. We'll hear stories and how they spoke. We'll hear how we'll pick up on the courage of the early Christians. Because the Acts of the Apostles is right here after Jesus' death and resurrection. And the boldness and the courage from the apostles and the early Christians, because they know Jesus is still alive. They know that he's victor, that he's champion, that he's king, that he's Lord. Not only do they know that he's Jesus' champion and victor, they know that they are, that they're champions, that they're victors, because Christ now lives in them. And because of all of that, they know that they now have work to do. And not just the apostles have work to do, we have work to do. So three things this morning, where we find ourselves here today, an opportunity to turn the world upside down, and third, just something practical for us to take home with. So first, where we find ourselves. It's often been said, you've heard me say it numerous times here, not only me, a lot of ink has been spilled over this the last number of years, of the fact that we are now living in what is called a post-Christian era. Right? We no longer are formed by and shaped by a Christian worldview. The new atheists that came on the scene in the early 2000s, right? Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris, they predicted a utopia founded in science and reason. Once religion is abandoned, we'll have this utopia. And they all sold best-selling books in the early 2000s that was gobbled up by my generation and the other. And what we found is that the promises that they made in the book, it ended up being empty promises. Right? The message is that we come from nothing, we're going to go to nothing. There's no objective meaning, and life is without purpose. And that was gobbled up. That message was gobbled up. And what's the result? Where do we find ourselves today? If we're just to pause and take a look, where do we find ourselves in a post-Christian society that has produced confusion? It's produced anxiety, especially in our youth. It's produced a mental health crisis. It's produced a plethora of people who are directionless, especially, I'd say, our youth. And so that has created this space here where there's like a hunger. There's like, I hear it all the time. I see it. We're like looking for answers, looking. Well, that clearly is not the answer. So what is, in looking for meaning and purpose, right after Easter, I read a couple articles, one from the Catholic Herald titled, "Did We Just See the Budding Shoots of a Christian Revival This Easter?" And another famous publication in England called The Spectator had an article titled, "A Christian Revival is Underway in Britain." Both articles points to stories and parishes and churches, one in Alabama, a parish in Alabama that had 22 people being entered into the church. Parish in Florida that had 50 baptisms, adult baptisms, and 30 confirmations at their Easter vigil. Pointing to a number of those things, and the Easter masses seemed to be filled. And also, the Spectator pointed the fact that it seems that Christianity is getting more airtime. You know, the likes, they pointed out to Joe Rogan's podcast, Joe Rogan, who's the number one podcast in the world. It seems like the Christianity and Christian values that Joe Rogan's talking about it more. His guests are bringing it up more. I mentioned this, I think it was last week, that I'm excited for the next 10 years. I think the next 10 years that what we're looking at, we're going to continue to see a further degeneration. That's true in our culture and society. That's going to happen on one end. But another end, we are seeing, and I think we're going to see in the next 10 years, we'll see, like, as we have been, big name famous intellectuals that are embracing Christianity again, that are coming into the church. We have an incredible opportunity in these years ahead, given where we're at in our culture and our society, an incredible opportunity specifically to turn the world upside down. This is our second point here. We find ourselves, we're in chapter 3 of the Acts of the Apostles here this morning, but I just want to give you one verse from chapter 17 of the Acts of the Apostles. We don't hear it ever from our Sunday lectionary. It doesn't come up through our three-year cycle, so maybe you haven't, maybe it's new to you. But I share this one verse because I think it gives a great summary of the entire Acts of the Apostles. It's a summary of the early church activity. And it is said of Peter or of Paul and the early Christians, at one point they're dragging them out of town. And they say of Paul and others there, they say, these people are turning the world upside down. Why? What are they doing? They're sharing the recent events. They're sharing the gospel message, the Easter message. We hear Peter in our first reading today standing up. There is redemption in Jesus. Sins can be wiped away. New life. One can have new life and begin again. That life isn't without meaning and purpose, but rather life has meaning and purpose. See, the gospel has ability to turn hearts upside down. Or maybe that rather they were upside down, and the gospel has the ability to turn them right side up. You know, I saw a snippet of a podcast. You know, this podcast usually has every episode they have like maybe 10 young women, usually from 18 years old, early 20s, maybe throughout their 20s, and they're usually all involved in some sort of sex work. And then usually there's another person on the other side of the table who comes from a Christian perspective. And one of these young women over here, she shared how at 16 she got pregnant and found it at 18. Then at 18, she got into prostitution. And now, as I think a 22-year-old, she puts herself out there on the internet. And at the end of the show, all the women have an opportunity to write down a question to anonymously be read and be answered by the other woman over here. And one of the questions read this, that was submitted. She said, do you believe someone can truly change even if they have a past like mine? And what was interesting, what I noticed, is that when the question was being, after it was read, every woman on this side of the table, their eyes were just locked in and glued and waiting to see what she was going to say to that question. And she gave a beautiful Christian response, saying that doesn't matter, even a past like yours, it doesn't matter. One can have redemption provided what Jesus did, and they can have a new life and begin over again. And every one of those women was just locked in on it. See, that's turning someone's world upside down. That's what Christianity has to offer. I shared that little scene with someone, and they sent me a viral post on social media that was put out by another sex worker who recently, just 2 weeks ago, entered in the Catholic Church on the Easter Vigil. And she has a past very similar to that. And she posted on social media that's gotten around 500,000 views. She says, "Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on such a wretched sinner. Thank you, Blessed Mary, Mother of God, for your immense love and consolation." And then she goes on and she shares this to all of her fans or whoever's watching or reading this. She says, God's forgiveness and mercy is real. If someone as broken and sinful as me can be redeemed and converted, there is no doubt anyone reading this can also be saved by his divine mercy. The gospel message, we have a message that is able to uplift people's hearts and turn them upside down or right side up. So I just want to end with something practical, something simple but beautiful. Our gospel, we hear Jesus walking in the upper room and he asks the 11 apostles, he says, have you anything here to eat? Probably the most human question a person can ask. I just think of the number of times I enter my parents' house and I just ask, hey, you guys have anything here to eat? First thing, enter the door, make a beeline to the fridge and say, Mom, you got anything here to eat? I usually say hi first, I hope, right? Say hi first. But I've resorted to the point of even driving home. As I'm driving home, I call. I don't even wait till I get home. I call and say, hey, Mom, you got anything there to eat? That's what Jesus does. He just wants to show them his humanity so that he can show them his divinity. 2.5 years I've been here at Notre Dame. You all inspire me in a number of different ways. The ways in which you sacrifice for your families and a number of different ways you inspire me, but probably nothing has inspired me more these 2.5 years than learning how some of you use your homes, your dining room table, to bring people to Christ. And I could share a number of specific examples. I'm just gonna share one, and it's a very recent one. You may have seen William, the 20-year-old man who was baptized here this 2 weeks ago at the Easter Vigil. William, 20 years old. His manager is a parishioner here, comes to church here. His name is Eddie. One day at work, Eddie said that he just felt drawn to go up and talk to William, this 20-year-old. And as he went up and talked to him, small talk was going on, and the topic of faith came up. And then ultimately, Eddie turned to William and said, you should come over to my family's house sometime and have dinner. William went over for dinner. And this is William telling me, he says, Father Mark, I was there for 2 hours after dinner. After 2 hours, I was just asking Eddie and his wife just millions and millions of questions. And I think Eddie and his wife, they've got 4 kids under 9 years old. So I'm sure the kids were running around all over the place. A year later, William was baptized. Through, in large part, with just them being human to him. People are not going to have their hearts be turned upside down by coming here to hear me preach because they're not here. But rather, it's going to be through and at your dining room table or in the hallway at your school or at your work. God's grace is at work. His redemption's at work. He's changing heart. There is a great opportunity that we have. Our culture is prime and ready for things to be turned upside down, for their hearts to meet the risen Lord. And it might just start with inviting someone over at your dining room table.